Acts this morning, but at the beginning of the week, as I was desperately trying to see something, I just felt led to do something else for the rest of the year, and so I'm just going to follow that. And we'll pick up on Acts for our third year in a row next year. But if you have your Bibles, could you come with me to Luke? Luke chapter 22. There are Bibles up in that corner over there if you'd like to get one. But Luke chapter 22 and 47. So I just want to speak for a few minutes, and then we're going to get Ben and the team coming up to lead us in a few songs, and then we're having communion, and Ruby will be taking that. And then after that, we go and have our free coffees. Okay, so... But Luke chapter 22, and by the way, thank you so much for all of those people who sent me emails and texts. Really got quite touched in my heart. Thank you very much. I mean, it just streamed in, and I thought, wow, you know, you really do feel, it's a bit like what Rachel said, you actually feel very much a part of something. So I really did appreciate that. And the mocking has started. It is Reba, that's right. Okay. Yeah, that's all part of it. That's our strange affection. Anyway, Luke chapter 22 and verse 47. It says this. It says, while he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. And he approached Jesus to kiss him. So Judas was one of the disciples, as most of us here will know. And this is the great betrayal that is occurring. But Jesus asked him, Judas, you know, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? And when Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? So it's interesting that they were wearing swords. Quite fascinating. And one of them, and we know who it is, who was the one who did it? Yeah, it was Peter, because you read the other gospel accounts and you're given other details. And one of them struck the servant of the high priest. Who? What was his name? Yeah, that's right, Malchus. And that's in John 18, verse 10, if you want to look it up later. That's his name. And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. So this is what I felt led to talk about this morning. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. So let's pray. Oh God, we come to this strange little story because we're a strange people and our lives are strange at times. But somehow you have this wonderful ability to bring beauty out of confusion and to bring clarity out of strangeness and to create a pathway for us. Help us to see what you want us to see, Lord. In this text, may it examine our lives and be a lamp to our feet as we walk into the week. And we pray this in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Friends, you know me, I have a question. When was the last time someone came to you with their conflict? When was the last time that this person, they came to you with their conflict about that they were having with someone else? And that they told you all about it? I mean, when was the last time they came to you and they may have been having a quarrel, a spat, a clash, a dispute, a row, with someone, not you, but with someone. And they came and told you all about it. It could have been that they were having a row, a conflict, a spat, a clash, a quarrel, or whatever, with their parent, their boss, their friend, their pastor. their partner in marriage. I mean, I don't know. But when was the last time that someone came to you to tell you about the conflict they were having with someone else? So that's my first question. My second question is, as they were telling you about the conflict that they were having with someone else, what were you tempted to do? Tell the person next to you. Go to it. Did you get the question? Yeah. Okay, friends, did you get the question? How many here have had someone come up to you recently and they've told you about a conflict that they are having with someone else? Show of hands. Yeah, most of us. Now, the second question was, as they're telling you about this conflict, what do we humans tend to do when we're hearing someone else tell about their conflict with someone else? It's a no-brainer, isn't it? We are tempted to what? Yeah, we are tempted to take sides. You see, we humans are side takers. Am I right or am I right? Come on, let's be honest. We humans are side takers. Yes? Yes. In this situation here in Luke chapter 22, there is a conflict. And there's a conflict between Peter and Malchus. And Jesus is watching this unfold. Okay, so there's the conflict here between Peter and Malchus. Now, Jesus could have taken sides. He could have put his arm around Peter, and he could have pointed the finger at Malchus and said, "Back off. This guy, what was he doing wrong? What are we doing wrong here in the garden? Just back off." He could have taken the side of Peter. Jesus also could have taken the side of Malchus. He could have put his arm around Malchus and said to Peter and the gathering crowd, but he could have put his arm around Malchus and he could have said, "Look, this guy Peter's one of my disciples. I've been working on him for about 3 years. Haven't quite got there yet. Hey, and I apologize about the ear thing." But what we see with Jesus here is that he doesn't take sides. Here's my point. Jesus is not a side taker, because Jesus is a man for all sides. Did you get that? I want you to latch onto that thought this morning. That Jesus does not take sides. Jesus is a man for all sides. I mean, just imagine Malchus goes home that night. He's walking through the door. And his wife says to him, "Hi, honey. Had to go at work today." And Malchus says, "Well, I had my ear cut off. And then the very chap that I went to arrest, he healed me." How strange is that? And you see, that's who we have in Jesus. He does not take sides with any conflict. He is a man for all sides. And he's asking us to be like that. That when people bring their conflicts to us, we are not to take sides. We are to be people for all sides. I will never forget when, and some of you have may read this, it was in the Baptist recently, it was an article written by one of my children, my youngest daughter. It's public, it's out there, so I can share it for those who may not have read the article. But when our youngest daughter, Jo, was 12, she went, as many of her friends did, to the swimming pool. And she went bathing and so on and so on. And then after she had swum, she went back into the girls' bathing sheds to dry off and to dress up. And as she did, and there were a whole lot of other girls in the shed, she saw that there was a guy who was looking through at the back wall, a crack through the wall. So she saw this guy, and she got the shock and horror of her life. And so she got dressed, and she made a beeline straight away to the authorities of the swimming pool, without this guy knowing. And she drew attention to what this guy was doing, and the police were called in. And so here was our 12-year-old girl just having to battle with the shock of a peeping Tom in her life. And so Ruby and I, of course, gently and carefully, as her parents, had to walk her through that. But there came a point in time, once we had talked about right and wrong, good and bad, true and false, there came a point in time when I said to our daughter at tender age of 12, we must pray for this guy. And you should have seen the look on Joe's face. It was again a look of absolute shock and horror. I mean, why would we do that? But you see, my point is that we are to be there for both sides. Not just Joe, but for this guy. Is that right? I mean, there is good and bad and right and wrong, and that has to be established. And there are consequences for actions. Yes. But nevertheless, we, like our master, are to be people who do not take sides in a conflict. We are to be people for all sides. Some of you have heard me tell this story, but I was speaking somewhere else in the country a few years ago, and as I was speaking in this venue, TV1 cameras raced through the door, and they started filming me. So my first ego thought was, they must have heard I was in town. But they carried on filming, and they filmed the audience, and they filmed the building. And I wondered what the heck was going on. And so it got to the end of the session, and the cameras left, and I turned to the leaders of this church, and I said, what is this? And they said, haven't you heard? And I said, heard what? And they said, haven't you heard that there is a doctor in town who got so hacked off with the medical authorities, he's resigned his warrant as a doctor. And he's morphed, converted, turned his medical clinic into a brothel. And we as a church are protesting. We're marching. We're taking up a petition. We've become known in this neighborhood, in this community, as the lead church who is leading the protest. This is what they said. So that night I went to bed and tried to get to sleep, but struggled. I was down to meet with the leaders the following morning, and as I did, I opened this whole can of worms. And one of the questions I asked was, I said, so you're leading the protest? They said, yes. And I said, yes, there is good, bad, right, wrong here, and what he's doing is wrong. Yes. But I said, by the way, has anybody invited him around for dinner? I mean, have you turned your hostility into hospitality for his sake? I mean, are we like our master? Where Yes, we will judge and discern what is good, bad, right and wrong. Yes, we will make that judgment call. But we will be a person for all sides, even for him. And no one has got alongside him. No one. So I told them off. Never been invited back. I mean, stick with me. I want to finish soon. In Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 44, Jesus says, you've heard it said that you are to love your neighbor. And then Jesus goes on to say, but also love your enemy. Don't take sides. Love neighbor, love enemy. Do you know, in Romans chapter 5, at around verses 6 right through to 10, there's this amazing passage that says that all of us in this room were at one time or another, we were all ungodly. We were all sinners. We were all enemies. And yet, what does it say? Christ loved us. Do you know, I have a dream for this church. Of course I do. Do you know what my dream in the church is? That no matter who walks through that door, they will know, no matter how ungodly, no matter how sinful, no matter whether they're an enemy to all that is good, that they will know in this church, yes, we will be clear on right and wrong and good and bad, yes. But they will know that we will still be on their side. And more importantly, they will know that God is still on their side. In their darkness. I firmly believe, you get someone walk in here who's beating up their wife. Domestic violence plus plus. I would like that person to still know that God is on their side. And that we are too. Is that right? Yeah, we could go through all the long list of things that could come through our door. But wouldn't it be beautiful if there was a church in this community, or churches, and people knew that no matter what their stuff is, those Christians, wow, yeah, they're really clear. Whoa, they're clear on good and bad and right and wrong, and they speak the truth, yeah. But they're still on my side. And they believe in a God that is still on my side, even though everybody else isn't. Is that right? I got to finish. A final story. There was this young woman, and she had a boy. And her boy was out, this is a true story. Her boy was out playing, and he got shot. Shot, killed, murdered by another boy in the neighborhood. And this young woman was a Christian. And as a Christian, she knew she had to be a forgiver. And so she convinced herself that she had forgiven the boy who had killed her boy. And so when it came to the funeral, and when it came to the court case, she sat there believing that, yes, she had forgiven. But as the years rolled by, resentment and hate and bitterness welled up within her because another young boy had robbed her of her son. And she realized that as a Christian woman, she hadn't forgiven from her heart. Then she chanced upon someone speaking, and the speaker told this illustration. And in this illustration, it's not true, it's just an illustration, there were two women in heaven, two mothers who had a crown around their head, the crown of motherhood. And these two mothers in heaven, this is the illustration, were talking. And one of the mothers she said to the other mother, she said, so I can see that the sadness in your eyes. Can you explain the sadness? And this other mother said, oh yes, my son was crucified. And that mother, the other mother who asked the question, she said, you mean you're Mary, you're the mother of Jesus? And she said, yes. And then the other mother said, so I can see you've been a mother as well. I mean, and you've got tears in your eyes. You know, what is your story? And she said, well, I'm the mother of Judas Iscariot. And we read about Judas. I'm the mother of Judas Iscariot. And these, in the illustration, these two mothers in heaven hugged. And as this young Christian woman heard that illustration, she knew she had to, from her heart, meet the boy who killed her boy. And she wondered how she could do that. He was in prison. So she started to think, is there a group that is there for both sides, who's there for the perpetrator, but also for the victim, that's there for both sides? And she heard of a group called Restorative Justice. My son is actually in Restorative Justice. He gets together with the perps and the villains and the victims, and he tries to bring them together in reconciliation. So there's this outfit called Restorative Justice. New Zealand is a lead country in this field. So she approached this organization, and she said, I hear you're there for both sides, the victim as well as the villain. And they said, yes. So she said, I'd like to visit prison and go and see the boy that murdered my boy. And they looked her in the eyes and they said, he's no longer a boy. 12 years have gone by and he's a man and he's been hardened by the prison system. He's no longer a boy. Do you still want to go? And she said, yeah, I'd like to go. So this group that doesn't take sides arranged the meeting. And so they went to this man in prison and said to him, the mother of the boy that you killed wants to come and visit. He said, no way. She'll only come in here with her anger and blame me all over again. I don't want to go through that. He said, no way. 9 months later, she tried again. And this time, the man in prison said, yep, I'll see her. So she went to the prison. And she was walking towards his cell where they had this meeting, and she wanted to back off. But she took a friend with her to be her supporter. And the friend said, come on, dear, come on, you can do it. So she got inside, and there he was. He could have cut the air with a knife. And then she said these words. She said, look, I don't know you, and you don't know me. I wonder if we could get to know each other. And he was so amazed by this, that her opening gambit was just to get to know each other, not to judge one another. He was really impressed by this. They talked for 2.5 hours. At the end of 2.5 hours, he said, can we hug? True story. He said, can we hug? They hugged, and they both shared tears. And then they just got together, month after month, year after year, for the rest of his time. And then in 2009, he was released. And he needed a place to stay. And the landlord of her, the mother, said, we have an apartment right next to yours. Why don't we put him up there? And so how the story ends is that the boy, the man who killed her boy, he became neighbor to her. And do you know today? Today, she's got arthritis. She can hardly walk. Do you know who escorts her to the supermarket and helps her get her groceries and so on? It's the man. And the point is, you can hear that story and you can think the real heroes in the story are the man and the mother. Yes, they are heroes, but there are hidden heroes in this story. And who are the hidden heroes? The people who didn't take sides. The group called Restorative Justice. They're the ones that made it happen. And look at the miracle that resulted. And that's my plea for the heart of our church, that we will become the kind of people, no matter what the conflict that is before us, no matter what people bring into our lives. Look, just this last week, I got rung up by this person not in this church. And this person said, Mick, can we meet? So I go to a cafe to meet. This person with tears in their eyes said that one of their children had been sexually abused by the young man, the young Christian man, the young Baptist youth worker, who's now facing charges and is being alleged to have committed certain crimes. So I had the mother across the table. And everything does well up within you to take sides. But I've learned from one who is greater than I that we are never to take sides. Never. We are to be a person for all sides. Yes, there's right and wrong, there's good and bad, there's punishment and consequences, but we are to be a person for all sides. I can't think of a better dream for our church. Is that right? Where we are really soft at center. Yeah. Okay, Ben, thanks.